today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio, episode number 119. As we like to do and have done a number of times on the show, we're going to revisit a topic that we have already talked about in the past. So in episode 53, quite a while ago, we did a show called Documentation, and now we'll call this one Documentation 2, the full word Documentation 2. It's often abbreviated as docs, and if I could go back in time, I think I would change the URL of our documentation, which is blog.codepen.io/documentation. Yeah, it feels like a long word to use in a URL.
No, I'm pro documentation, but
oh, are you?
We can fight that out later. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. That works. At least, you know, there's no ambiguousness about it then.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's what we're talking about. That's where our documentation for CodePen lives. It's a special URL, and it's a special page that's kind of an index page for all our documentation. And how do you want to, you know, this is kind of, it's kind of your show because it's near and dear to your hearts. This is Marie Mosley, by the way.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, this is, you know, I wanted to do this, partly the reason I wanted to do this now is because I have just finished up the minimum viable docs for a feature that's MVDs. Coming out pretty soon. Yes, exactly. You know, I mean, when we have something brand new coming out, when you write docs for something brand new, you can only write the minimum viable docs because you're going to learn what people actually need from you after they're out there and after people are actually using the new product. So yeah.
That reminds me of the FAQs thing where so many FAQs aren't actually frequently asked. They're just like questions we anticipate you asking.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you go with that as the first round, and then after that, it just grows over time, and you learn what you actually need to document.
Pretty required, I'd say, for any app of, yeah. of any kind of minimum complexity. Is that because, I don't know, there's competing philosophies in a way, isn't there? And that, like, a good UI doesn't even need documentation. It teaches users automatically kind of thing.
I know that people do say that. I don't agree that that's true. I think that there's truth in that, but I don't think that's, you know, perfectly true in all cases. People are different and people learn and understand things differently. So if you have a fantastic UI that truly is so great that it doesn't need any documentation, you should still have documentation just in case for the people that it isn't so intuitive for. You know, intuition and an intuitive interface is different to every person. Everybody has a different context.
Right.
But I think, you know, docs are kind of like the first line of supporting your customers and your members. You know, it's an option for them to help themselves before they have to take time to ask you a question about something. And I think that's what makes them critical. You know, they are step one of supporting everybody.
Yeah. And it's not the worst. I think it's a pretty good support answer when the reply, and I think this both as like the proprietor of a business who in some senses looks over support and does support, and as a customer of other apps in which I receive support, if it's the answer is something like, yes, that's possible. Here's a URL to our docs that explains that thing. I'd be like, oh, awesome. Thanks. You know, like that's
definitely that's what I like to get as an answer. And I like being able to give that as an answer too. Also, a lot of the time when you get a support request from someone, the first thing they say to you is, I looked through the docs, I looked everywhere and I couldn't find this. So I'm wondering about this. And it tells you that people really do want to just find it on their own in the first place. They don't want to have to wait for you to answer or, you know, spend the time that it takes to formulate their question in a way that could be understood by the person that's going to read their email. It's way easier to just go in and look and see if you could find your answer on your own for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, because if you find the answer, the turnaround time is seconds or minutes, not hours or days.
Yeah, it's exactly. You don't have to wait at all.
Yeah, speed. So as you put it, docs are a form of support, a really good form of support.
Absolutely.
The better your docs, maybe the best. The best. Maybe you'd... You know, perhaps there's ways to measure this. Perhaps it's not. Perhaps it's too complicated. There's too many variables. But if you have really, really good docs versus an app that has no docs or really bad docs, you'd think that the app with really good docs just sees straight up less volume of customer support.
I think so. I know that we have reduced volume in certain areas by improving the docs. There's been situations where I've made a one-sentence change to our documentation that has completely eliminated support requests of a certain type. So it definitely works. It's probably people who can measure these things could give you more detail on that, but it works for sure. Keeping the docs is awesome.
I know during our all hands meetings, a lot of times your section of that meeting is like, this is a recurring theme in support this week.
Right.
And a lot of times that's a bug that just has to get fixed. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you're tracking those common themes, which surely you are, sometimes that's a docs change that can also reduce that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll write tickets for myself where it's just like, okay, I need to re-describe this entirely. We did that with embeds. When I first came on, there was documentation when I first joined CodePen, and I went back and completely took apart the documentation for embeds and rewrote it from scratch based on what people were asking me. And, you know, taking that information that you get in support, writing up a ticket for it, and then redoing the docs, it's kind of like refactoring. You know, you take the existing word base of docs and refactor it with that information in mind.
Yeah, that's great, you know, because, you know, really no one more qualified to do it than somebody who sees the most questions about said thing, you know?
I think so. Although, you know, I think support and people who write documentation can work side by side. I don't think you necessarily have to be standing right in the stream of support to really understand it. I think a support person can also communicate it to a documentations person too, you know, from the same root of communication. Like, if you're good at support, you're going to be good at writing.
Also, it occurred to me that, you know, just I'm exploring some other product right now that we're kind of trying to decide whether we're going to buy or use or figure out or what. The UI thing is moot to me in a way, in that, like, I don't want to sign up for your thing and then just start using it and learn along the way. Like, I have some questions that I need to know the answer to first. At least, maybe not need, but like, I'd prefer to just read your docs and find out if your thing can do what I want it to do with words, and then I'll go try it out. But I don't really want to just explore your app to see if it can do the thing I need it to do.
Yeah, I also think that sometimes you'll find documentation for a product and it's way too heavily video, and you really just want to search for some keywords and figure out if they got it. You know, like, if I want to find out if something supports something that I'm planning to do, I don't want to sit through a 10-minute video where there's like a cartoon giraffe showing me how it works or whatever. I just want to, you know, read about it.
Yep, that's true too. But those two things can live together, because sometimes I'm almost in the mood for a video, or I know so little about your app that it's like, I kind of want to, I don't know, see what's up. Like, I have the 10 minutes to watch your video.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, I think that's kind of a branch of documentation, which is more, you know, leaning into marketing and selling the product. Demonstrations like that are, you know, it's a form of documentation, but it's more in the marketing vein.
Yes. So we have that marked here a little bit too. And I think that's fascinating, because it comes up for us a lot, is that sometimes you make these docs pages and they're long, sprawling explanations of features and our, you know, quote unquote FAQs, and it ends up being this long explainer document that is documentation but isn't 100 miles away from a marketing page for that feature. It can act as that. If somebody landed on this page wondering if we could do a thing, read the docs, find out that we can, and sign up, I mean, that feels like marketing/sales to me.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference in the intent of the document. Like, I write certain things with marketing and sales as the intention. Our landing pages, when we work together on those, that's all about, you know, showing people the features in a way that sells it to them rather than deeply explains it. For example, on the marketing page, I would never say, you know, scroll here, select this, press the save button. That would never...
You see this error, this is what it means.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that makes no sense on a marketing page. But in the documentation, that's critical because, you know, in the documentation, we're showing someone... It's almost like a recipe in a cookbook. It's how to use this thing and how to make this thing happen. Right. So,
so any attempt to there probably should never be an attempt to smash those two things together.
I try to keep those two pretty separate intentionally. It's you know, documentation to me.
You can see where the temptation would be, though. You know, it's like
totally, yeah. But documentation to me is the instruction manual, and it needs to be clear and free of clutter. So because, like you were saying, they can get really long. So you don't want to waste a word on salesy stuff when you might need to actually repeat something a couple of times to make it clear within the documentation. Like, for example, if you have a page that's explaining how to change multiple settings in a section, you may need to tell someone, save, you know, after you make this change, save. But you're going to have to tell them to do that for each section of it. So if they haven't read the entire document, they might not know that they have to save unless you repeat it at each situation where they're going to have to save. So that's another reason to keep the docs, you know, clear of marketing speak and focused on instructional information only.
Yeah. And hopefully the more of these that exist, the more obvious that becomes in our universe. You know, like we're small enough that we haven't like published a guide on the language of CodePen, you know, or hopefully
not yet. That's something that we have talked about doing and I would really like to do. You know, voice and tone and you know, defining things like this is how you talk in marketing, this is how you talk in documentation.
It will become easier to do the more examples we have of it, you know, the more
exactly. Yeah.
Right on. So there's that. There's also this concept that our docs aren't, you know, you already mentioned that you write like a MVD and then publish it, knowing that it's going to have to change.
Yes.
But not knowing that it's going to have to change once, you know, not like, oh, well, it's been 2 months and now we know what people ask, so let's redo it. But that every one of our docs is always, that's always the case.
Forever. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, everything has a situation where it might need to get rewritten at any time. You know, when we make changes to the UI, when we update a feature, all of those things are reasons to update the docs. And there's never going to be a time when I can say, okay, the docs are done and I will move on to something else. No, the docs are a permanent part of what I do. And, you know, that it would be bad to just let them get stale because, you know, then people go to them and find confusing information, outdated screenshots, and it's just a nightmare for them.
I don't think that we're worse than any other company necessarily about this, but there is a bit of a disconnect between, you know, when we ship things, what they change, and directly to our docs. Like maybe there could be or should be, and I guess I kind of like this idea of like if in a view or in the CSS even as comments to be like, okay, there's a screenshot of this at this particular URL in the docs, and if you go changing it, maybe that should change with it. We don't have like a stopper for that necessarily.
That would be really cool. Yeah, I do like that idea because it would also make people stop and think before they changed a little thing. If it's like, is this really necessary? Because we've got this documented.
True. There's that. And yeah, is it worth it? I mean, I would hope that any changes we make tend to be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, for scale, I do think that would be a pretty cool idea.
It only gets worse, not better. You know, the disconnect between UI and docs is there. You know, one of the things that I did on CSS Tricks, which is in a sense like documentation, just arbitrary. It's documentation for all websites.
It is, yeah.
I made this page just that's not publicly viewable, but it's all the pages on the site that are like the almanac pages, for example, that document a specific feature that they're dated, and we clearly present the date of when they were written and when they were last updated, but that displays all of them in reverse order of when last updated, so that if there's one in there that says 2013 or something, it's like, really nobody has looked at that on our side for a hot while, so it's probably worth popping that one open again and looking at that. That kind of thing might serve us as well.
Yeah, that's true, because it is useful to just go back through and make sure that, you know, that the examples are still fresh and accurate, that things haven't changed, or if there's just a little, you know, I mean, I've discovered typos many, many years old. It's always good to get another pair of eyes.
Screenshots are the first to go, I feel like. They're just absolutely like, whoops, that looks old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So updating them, as you know, sometimes it's almost like you have to, like old code, you got to kind of wrap your head around what's happening in that doc, the structure of it and how whoever wrote it intended to kind of present that feature in a way. Cause there's not really, I guess, a super standard way to do it. Like, we don't necessarily have a docs template, or maybe you do, but not that I'm aware of. So if you go update it, you kind of have to wrap your head around it like you would old code, and then update it within the spirit of that doc, which makes updating docs almost harder.
It can be, yeah. You know, I think I've said a couple of times that the docs that I've had to rewrite were harder than the ones I wrote from scratch. You know, partly because you're taking, you know, exactly like you said, you have to put yourself into the mind of the person who wrote it in the first place and make sure that you're not, if you take something out, you're not taking out something vital. If you rephrase something, that you're rephrasing it correctly. It is funny, because rewriting something for whatever reason can be more challenging than just going from scratch.
Yeah. We talk about it a lot, you know, with dev stuff. Like, when somebody's working on a feature, I'm particularly guilty of this, for better or worse, is to be, if somebody's in some part of the code base, I'm like, ooh, there's a ticket that's like, feels like it's kind of close to that code that you're looking at. So can you take that too? Kind of thing. And, you know, that's another note that you've made here is that doing it right away when a change happens that would affect some docs is easier in a sense, because it's just a smaller change that needs to make, but also it's like all up in your brain at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Making it right away makes it a lot easier, because for both of those reasons, as time passes, if you've left things unchanged, it like grows mold on it. It just gets worse and worse, you know? And so making the change right away, it can often just be like, okay, I have to change one screenshot today. I can do that, you know, or two sentences need to have a couple things changed about them. But if you just let it sit there, you're going to come back to trouble, because you got to figure out, okay, so this changed, this changed, this changed. All of these things have to be rewritten to agree with each other. It's way better to just get right on it.
Did you recently have to redo debug view?
Yeah, I did. I rewrote the docs for how we describe permissions for debug view. And I also wrote a blog post for it. And that was actually an example of the division between documentation and marketing type talk, which was, you know, the docs are extremely dry. Just in these certain situations, you can use debug. If you're a free member and you're looking at your own debug view, that'll work. If you're a pro member, you can look at your own debug view, you can share it, and you can also look at other people's debug view. So that was just the description. But then when I wrote the blog post explaining the change, I talked about, you know, why we made this change, the history behind it, who solved the problem. That was Jake, you know. So it was telling more of a story rather than just, these are the procedural facts of what you do with debug. So that's the difference there.
Yeah, that one, I just thought of it because it seemed like extraordinarily tricky, just because, well, it's just a weird thing to have to explain. And then it probably isn't just those two places, but because it's a pro feature, it probably is sprinkled all over the place.
Right. That's the other thing. You have to remember to look for it in other places. And, you know, I just do very basic things to do that. I look at documents that I know are related and make the changes in there. And then also I just search the docs for other instances where these things get mentioned. And then I make the changes to bring everything all up to date. because that's actually a good point. There's a little bit of leakage from doc to doc. So you have to make sure that docs about one subject all agree with each other, even when that subject gets mentioned in another doc. So yeah, there's that little piece too, which is another point in the favor of making changes as soon as they happen.
Tech-wise, this is just like a choice we made pretty early in CodePen's history. It was like, let's host the blog somewhere else rather than right on the same server boxes that we use for everything else. The idea being, I don't know, we read that somewhere, or we've worked at companies that have did that, because then there's some URLs that aren't tied to the up or downness of CodePen. And it was like, okay, that sounds reasonable enough, whatever. And the other reason being, I can just toss a WordPress install up there. I have experience with WordPress. I can skin it up easily and be productive and be getting content out real quick. Whereas in our Rails thing, I just have less experience with that. And I don't know, is there like a blog gem on Rails, or is it, it's not really, it's mostly like, oh, Rails is built to making a blog very easy. So just do it, yo. I don't know. We just didn't do that. So, okay. And now all this time has passed and it's still this WordPress instance still on this other box. And I don't really regret it. I mean, we're many, many years into CodePen, and it's fine or better than fine.
One nice thing about that was that I was able to jump right into the docs because I had WordPress experience. And yeah, realistically, people that write on the web have WordPress experience. So for scale, I think it makes sense too, because as we get more people involved in the future, and as more people have to write docs, because we all do from time to time, I mean, it's not just me always, everybody knows how to use WordPress, and it's super, it's difficult to completely screw up a WordPress post, you know? I mean, if something goes wrong, somebody can help you with it too. So it's very approachable and you can jump right in. You know, I was updating docs before I was doing anything, you know, on production CodePen. I could start that on day one.
Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of positives. The negatives being, it's a little obnoxious to have to maintain two totally separate. We don't even share a style sheet. It's like faked to look exactly like the rest of CodePen, and that's much more limiting. It doesn't know if you're logged in or not. It doesn't know what plan you're on. You can't use the same relative URLs because it's at blog.codepen.io. So there's lots of stuff that really would be nice if we, you know, it was just at codepen.io. And I wonder if looking back, we could have done like, you know, we could have installed WordPress at like a subdirectory of codepen.io and just still had it be WordPress, but through some kind of trickery made it work. I don't know. It's not something I'm looking into immediately, but the idea of having a doc site that kind of lives within the main code base is sometimes appealing.
Yeah, I can see the appeal of that, definitely. And there, you know, there's some drawbacks to WordPress. The search, I think, is a little bit clunky. And
we don't even use it. We just have a
Google. Yeah, we just use the Google one, which actually sometimes I think makes it a little weirder. So yeah, just little drawbacks like that. I mean, there's always, I can think of hundreds of ways to improve the docs when I get going on it, you know?
Yeah, this is kind of, it's not sad, but it's like, we should probably style it nicer to look more like us than the search results. And like
the search results, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the search on CodePen itself is actually like pretty good, I think. So it's a bummer that you know, our quality search action that we have there on the rest of CodePen doesn't find its way to these docs.
Yeah, it would be cool to unify those, definitely.
That is one of the other reasons that it's served nicely, is that it's just a WordPress install, and documentation is like a sub area of the WordPress site in which we use pages and in WordPress to deal with that, meaning that they can have parents and we can kind of have some structure to our documentation linking things together. That seems okay, but then it powers the blog as well. And now that we have a podcast like you're listening to now, that's another sub area of the WordPress site, and we've leveraged it for that. We leverage it for our meetups area. We have like a custom post type for meetups that handles that. And now it's like, mm-hmm. Now we're pretty locked in. I mean, not forever, but the move would be big and hard.
Sure, that would be a big one, because we do have a ton of stuff going on in there.
Yep. So we probably won't, at least in the,
not
the short term kind of thing. No, not today. And so, yeah, it's at a different domain. We've chosen WordPress for it. Lots of people choose different things. I mean, there's WordPress themes that are for docs. There's other software products that are for docs. There's open source installable things that are for docs, you know, like Jekyll, like there's static site generator docs. I can't really speak to any of that necessarily. I don't really know what they bring to the party, because I think good docs is more what you do with the docs than whatever software you pick.
Yeah, I think really the content is the key to it. I mean, you can have the best documentation CMS in the world, but if your docs don't make any sense, you know, they're not going to be very useful. I do think that we could improve. I think the biggest thing we could improve is findability within the docs. The search is kind of wacky sometimes. You go in there and search for something, and you can get a blog post that we wrote about it 3 years ago, but not, you know, the doc that has the real meat of things in it today. You know, that's a little tricky. Yep.
I used to, a long time ago on CSS Tricks, what I did was I made like 5 or 6 different Google custom search engines. Cause you have, in order to use this, you have to like go to the Google, it's not just code only. You have to go to the Google custom search engine website and like make a new one. That's, you know, so there's like an entity or whatever, and then it has its own kind of like endpoint that gets posted to or whatever. So on CSS Tricks, I was like, what area do you want to search? And I would have a little drop down menu or some kind of UI to switch between. I want to search just the blog or just the forums or just the snippets or whatever to allow you to, or the whole site. And then all it did was just like change where it posted to, essentially. And then it would limit what area of the site you were searching. And it, you know, it was way like homegrown way to filter.
Oh, wow.
The different search engines just said, our scope to this URL. Because when you make a new search engine, you can say, not only what URL do you want it to search, but like that URL can be longer than just the root URL. So we'd have this Google search engine only return URLs that have blog.codepen.io/documentation in them. So it can't return anything but docs. I don't know. That might be more trouble than it's worth for us, but
hard to say, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what this podcast is. A meeting, essentially. We brainstorm ideas.
Sometimes, yeah.
So, okay, I guess final words about docs?
Well, I think that I've made the case that they're important. And I really do, like, if I were to talk to other startups and small companies like ours, the time that you spend on your docs is worth it. It might not feel like it when you're doing them. And you may never be able to measure it in the same way that you can measure other things, but you're helping out the people that use your product, and you're helping yourself too. You may not know it, but you are, because you are cutting down on confusion and you're making your product more lovable, because if people can figure out how to use it, they're going to love you more. So that's the final word on docs. Do them.
Right. Do them. So Marie started this by talking about the fact that she was just finished up doing some big docs for our new feature. If you're an astute listener of Code Pen Radio, you know we've been working on a new feature forever. and it's just fun. It's been fun for us to work on. And it will see the light of day, by gosh. And
coming
I
soon.
Still can't promise you when, but it's we're working on it. And we have two teams working on two different big projects, one of which will be more visible to you than the other, but equally important from our perspective. And so many of us are super heads down on these deadlines. So expect, you know, other team members in the future back on the podcast or whatever. We have no particular sponsor other than ourselves this week on Code Pen Radio, but know that this show is sponsorable. There's information about that at codepen.io/advertising that explains how to advertise in this podcast, but also our newsletter, the Code Pen Spark, and also the display advertising possibilities we have. You know, there's advertising opportunities kind of sprinkled about Code Pen that we're working on, doing a tasteful job of, I hope.
I think so.
Yeah, and there's also a job board. And the job board is, we actually like collect good data on and stuff. If you're interested in posting a job and you have a job that's for, you know, that it's specifically targeted at front-end designers and developers, you know, obviously, right? Because that's what CodePen serves. It does, it sends some good eyeballs to your job because it's not overflowing with jobs. I mean, believe me, it would be great if the CodePen job board was overflowing with jobs, but it isn't. It's more of a small selection of really targeted jobs, which I think is good for both the people posting the jobs and the people perusing this job board. It's not overwhelming. It's a nice collection of very good jobs at good companies. That's how it's gone so far. And you can post a job there. And speaking of podcasts, I do a different podcast called Shop Talk Show. And part of the checkout process of a job is that you can purchase a mention. We'll talk about your specific job on Shop Talk Show, which just extends the reach of that job even further than it already is. And this one, I think it just came in today from Express Scripts in Austin, Texas. I guess we're doing a bonus spot for them because we don't promise that you're going to be on CodePen Radio, although we intend to build that in. It's just not ready yet. This is going to go on Shop Talk Show, but it's they picked one up. So it's for a company called Express Scripts in Austin, Texas. They're looking for somebody to work on, you know, single page apps, JavaScript apps at their thing. And Express Scripts being like you and your doctor gives you a script for medicine. Yeah, but how cool would that be to not have to go to CVS or Walgreens or whatever your thing. Very. It's like it's a website where they mail it to you. That seems fantastic to me because I don't know. The Walgreens by me right now is the worst. Sorry, Walgreens.
You know, oh, no. Now they're never going to advertise with us. What have you done?
Oh, too bad. I think the risk that maybe they will anyway, just to tell us they're turning their ship around. There's always a million years line there. It's like I need to get myself in a special mental place to go to Walgreens. But anyway, you can work at Express Scripts and, you know, work with React and test. You know, they're saying they need people that are familiar with build tools like Webpack and stuff. It seems like a very cool modern job, you know, which is it's nice to hear sometimes when you're looking for a job to know that they're on the new, not on the old. I don't know. It feels good to me anyway.
Totally.
Cool job, cool stuff. That's at Express Scripts. You can see all our jobs at codepen.io/jobs. Post one if you're looking to hire as well. So thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Six, zero, three, one, eight.